May our reflections this morning as we ponder the Word and the Spirit fill us with light and send us into the world with hope. Amen. Some of you may recall Reverend Nora's sermon from last Sunday. I'm trusting that you have as good a memory as I do. She mentioned that time in her life when she finished being a student and was ready to go out into the world, and that she chose the route of transfer and settlement, which was a possibility for her at that time in her career as a minister. And she mentioned how that took place 100 years ago. Knowing that I was sitting right there and thinking to myself, if that was 100 years ago for Reverend Nora, how old does that make me? Indeed, I am so old that when it was my time to do what Reverend Nora was talking about, there was no choice. There was no such thing as choosing whether you could go for a call or you choose the transfer and settlement. It was transfer and settlement, period, exclamation mark. The theory behind that being that the church had supported my education for 3 years, and it was only right, therefore, that I go where the church tell me to go. And I did, without any complaint. And the church told me, a boy who grew up in Eastern Ontario, in a very small rural community, the church sent me in its infinite wisdom to the wide open prairies of rural southern Manitoba. And those of you who've gotten to know me know that I am not necessarily a shy person, and I'm somewhat self-confident. Maybe even a trifle arrogant occasionally, although I'm trying to work on that skill. So I arrived in rural Manitoba with the idea that I was the light that they were just waiting to embrace, even if they didn't know it. And it wasn't very long before I realized just how wrong I was. They were the light. And that has been actually my experience in most of the congregations that I have served. That the light comes from the congregation. Because you are the people that go about the business of doing what God is calling us to do, while I go about the business of telling you how to do it. And I don't always get it right. But as a congregation, you always get it right. And my eyes were opened when one of the elders of one of the small churches talked with me around the time that I was getting ready to move to my next pastoral relationship. And he said words of wisdom to me. He said, "Tony, our job as a settlement charge," because that congregation had been used to being a settlement charge for decades. Indeed, the Reverend Roy Wilson and the Reverend Dr. Lois Wilson, who went on to become moderator of the United Church, started in that same pastoral charge, as did Alec Barber, who was at Wesley for a number of years. So three well-known people had been part of that pastoral charge. And this retired farmer said to me, "Tony, we see it as our job to complete your education so that when you leave here, you will truly be a minister." That was their gift to me. Because I didn't know it all. And indeed, I've reached the age in my life where I confess I still do not know it all. Just yesterday, I opened up a book that a friend had recommended to me, a new biography of Paul. Paul as in Paul who wrote all those letters that I've never used. And I got through the first introductory chapter of it, and I found myself suddenly amazed. Because I was learning things about Paul and Paul's background and the historical background around Paul that I had not heard before. And it is already forcing me to rethink some of my thoughts about Paul. So the light continues. The learning continues. And I think that's one of the gifts that coming to church offers us, is that our learning continues just as much as our sense of togetherness continues within the community. That we may indeed have seen the light, but there's always more of it to be experienced, so long as we keep open to those experiences. And I've been thinking a little bit about that sense of the light in our world in terms of some of the events that are unfolding in the world, including what is happening, unfortunately, south of the border in our giant neighbor of a country. And think about how some of our friends in that country also are experiencing a sense of being in the darkness. And perhaps even grieving. Grieving the loss of a sense of integrity in the country's highest office. Grieving the loss of common sense. Grieving also the place that America used to have in the world as a whole, that somehow seems to be diminishing and darkening. And the question that I ask myself as I involve myself in understanding the news of the world is there light in the darkness? How do we rediscover the light when we find ourselves bogged down in things that disturb us? How do we open ourselves again to the words of comfort that Jesus says, "I am the light of the world, you people come and follow me"? How do we live our faith, trusting that there will be light in the darkness, and that we will be part of that light? I think about the story that Matthew tells of Jesus calling the first disciples. Drop your nets. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of human beings. Imagine just for a few moments here that you are the parents of James and John and the other two. And that you, as parents, have relied on their help for a number of years now to keep the family fishing business going. And suddenly your two sons step away from the boat and follow this unknown stranger. What would your reaction be? I mean, we tend to look at that story from the point of view of, isn't it wonderful that Jesus is gathering these disciples around him? And yes, it is wonderful. But what about the parents who are relying on those sons to help them with the family business? Do they see the light or the darkness? Are they overjoyed that their sons have dropped everything, abandoned dad with the fishing boat, and gone and followed this stranger? Or are they able to see the light, that their sons are willing to follow someone who seems to want to make a difference for everyone? And reflecting on that particular aspect of the story says to me that there are always two possible, or at least two possible, outcomes. We can dwell in the dark and wring our hands and moan and groan and wish that things were different. Or we can move into the light and say to ourselves, this is a wonderful new experience. Maybe something positive will come out of it for everyone. Maybe everyone eventually will experience the light. And so I take that image with me as I look at the news of the day. I can choose to dwell in the darkness that the news engulfs me with. Or I can step out of the darkness into the light and say, but there are still people who care about the world, who want this world to be a better place, not just for themselves, but for everyone around them, who believe in community. And who believe that community isn't just about building walls around ourselves, but breaking down other walls and bringing more people into a wider community. So the challenge is there for all of us. Not only will we see the light, but will we follow it wherever it may lead us? And celebrate with joy that we have that capacity within us to do precisely that. To live in the light, to follow the light, and to let our light shine so that others may be embraced by it, and therefore lighten their world as well. Will you be the light and follow it wherever it might take you? Out of the darkness, out of the despair, out of the hopelessness, into a world that says to us, I am still with you. I still love you. I set my love among you to go out into the world and to be my light.